Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My fault. I prematurely turned my mic on.
Come on, Hugh.
I'm trying to lock in. I'm on thin ice right now.
No. Lock in with Feliz Navidad.
Oh, I do like this song. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Now, that's where it gets a little sticky. Feliz Navidad. Sometimes that is going to be stay that.
Nailed it. Nailed it.
Feliz Navidad. Yeah, this is a good song, man. I can't even.
Dude, have you ever been? I think they call them mariachis, right?
Yeah, mariachi band.
Dude, the best time I've ever had when you go in there, they're singing it. That man, listen. Mm-hmm. Had you a couple drinks in you, maybe a gummy or two, and just ball out. That's a fun time. It's a great song, man. Is it eggnog? It's eggnog season, right?
Eggnog? Yeah, sure. You want some eggnog?
Hell no.
Okay.
Eggnog is horrible.
You brought it up.
No, I'm just saying, because some people go hard for eggnog.
Yeah, I'm not an eggnog guy. They have a different kind of drink around the holidays. I never asked Elliot if he's an eggnog guy. Elliot Shore Parks joins us right now.
Get the show back.
Sponsored by Cozy Jewelers. Step up to the Pepsi. That's color, cut, clarity, carrot, and cozy. As Hugh was going to go on a long rant about mariachi bands.
I struggled over here today.
Elliot, how are we doing?
Man, I have said it before and I'll say it again. A Hugh Douglas, a very underrated voice when you sing. Like, I feel like you got soul in your voice when you sing.
I like usually, I'm a little bit better when I had a couple drinks in me, though.
Yeah.
Hopefully not eggnog. I agree with you guys. Eggnog is trash. Yeah.
Yeah, it's gross. There's so many other good drinks to have around this time of the year, or just whenever. Yeah, it's not good. I also think Hugh does a good job of keeping our guests on our toes. One, when will we go to them? And two, what will the conversation be you walk right into? We did it to Ross. We did it to Devin yesterday. You got to be part of the mariachi band. Have you ever seen a mariachi band live, Elliot?
So I actually, last year in Brazil, there was a band at a restaurant I was playing at. I don't know if it was mariachi, but it had similar vibes. And it was fun. I mean, you know, he was right. You get a drink or two in you, a mariachi band starts. It's a festive time.
Was that the band that was kind of following you around Brazil as you were on the phone with us? That was great radio. I'm surprised we didn't
win the drinks in my system then, though.
Yeah, clearly. I'm surprised we didn't win the Marconi for that alone, as the band followed you around in Brazil. All right, Elliot, a lot to get to with the Eagles here as they try to bounce back after two straight losses. Let's start with some NFL news, and it could pertain to the Eagles. Elliot, the Steelers waived Darius Slay. Has not been a great year for Slay or the Steelers, and you know his coverage stats are not good. Their defense stinks, but we see this sometimes. Guys go one place and they go back to a place that's more comfortable. Your thought on Slay? Could he end up back here, and do you think he would help?
Yeah, I think he could definitely end up back here. I mean, it's to the point where I was looking at the roster today and figuring out what number he could wear. Like, I think
that's what I'm talking about.
Well, and unfortunately, there's no good numbers. Like, you look at it, 34. I mean, he seems like someone that would really care about the number he wears. 34 would be a tough look for him. But in terms of, I think it's absolutely possible. It wouldn't shock me if it happens later today. And I think it makes sense. Now, I think it makes sense twofold. One, I think it makes sense on a base level as a depth move. If you look at the backups they have, like, let's say Quinion and Adoree are going to be their starters. Fangio doesn't seem super comfortable in Kelee Ringo. And Jakorian Bennett's not been on the field all year, and I don't think has been super impressive when we saw him in preseason. So Slay brings something that they don't, which is experience. He has, you know, hundreds of starts in the NFL. Kelee Ringo and Jakorian Bennett have 18 combined and have never started in a playoff game. So at a base level, I think Slay is a good addition just to the depth of the team and to the locker room. I think he's a popular guy in the locker room. And then there's the upside of it. Has not played well with the Steelers this year, but was really, really good last year. I mean, it was surprisingly good. So, you know, maybe there's a chance he comes here back in a familiar setting and he plays better. So I think it's a no risk pickup at this point.
All right, let me throw this at you because I agree for the most part. I'm just wondering who he would replace. And Elliot, I can't pretend I know this like totally. Just my eyes tell me Kelee Ringo has made a lot of plays on special teams. He's always around special teams coverage. And I did see yesterday he's got, you know, a certain amount of votes. He's like top 8 or top 10 in the NFC in special teams voting. It seems like there's a perception he's good on special teams. He helps there. He'd be like the easy one to just replace. Do you think they value him on special teams? And if not Kelee, like who would he replace in that room?
Well, so I don't think he would replace anybody in the room from a roster standpoint. I think they would keep all the corners. Mac McWilliams, Jakorian Bennett, Kelee Ringo. Like maybe they'd cut Bennett, but I kind of think because of his age they wouldn't want to expose him to waivers. So I think there would be a smaller chance they would cut him. So in terms of who he'd replace like on the field, I think he would become the top backup or potentially replace Adoree. But on the roster, I think you would cut somebody from somewhere else. Now, keep in mind, Marcus Epps is returning this week. He's going to return to practice with how Sidney Brown played last game. It would not shock me at all if Marcus Epps is on the active roster for Monday against the Chargers. So if you bring in Slay, maybe you wait a week, right? You give him practice for a week, but you got two potential roster spots you need to open. You know, you could pick other spots like AJ Dillon, right? Like I don't know why AJ Dillon is still on the roster. He could easily be on the practice squad at this point. So you could find other spots, but I think in the corner room, you probably wouldn't cut any of those guys.
All right, Elliot, let's talk big picture here. And there's a lot of season to go, and they certainly could win Monday. They should beat the Raiders. And then down the stretch, two games against the Commanders, they should get some victories here and find their way to the playoffs. But Elliot, let's just present a scenario where this thing topples over. It's 2023 all over again. And this time, Elliot, if they don't win the division, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs because they really only have tiebreakers against the Lions. So they have to win the division. Let's say they don't. It topples over. They collapse. How do you think the Eagles are going to handle that? And I'll just ask you the question we're throwing out today. Is Nick Sirianni safe no matter what? I don't even know how to unpack a coach with two collapses in 3 years, but with, of course, a Super Bowl victory in between.
Yeah, I think he is safe no matter what. I do not think they would fire him. As Hugh likes to often point out, money matters in the NFL. They just gave him a contract extension last offseason. So
they just
recommitted a ton of money to him. Now, we could say it's not against the cap. Who cares? I think Jeffrey Lurie would care because if you fire Nick, you're paying him whatever. Now, he might get another other job, so that offsets it. But then you're paying another head coach as well. So I just think they just doubled down on him. The person they didn't just double down on is Jalen. Jalen did not get a contract extension last offseason. So I think if they were to collapse again and the offense is bad the rest of the way, because you're right, when the offense is this bad, they generally make changes. I think they might have to ask themselves then, after 23, 24, and 25, where it doesn't seem like the offensive system is maybe perfect for each other with whatever Nick wants to run versus what Jalen's strengths are. They win a lot of games, so it works. But I think if they were to make a decision at the end of the year, it would not be about Nick. It would be about Jalen.
Elliot Shore Parks with us here. Yeah, I tend to think one of those, if they collapse and the offense stinks the whole season, one of those two might not be here next year. So we kind of see it similarly, just a matter of how they go about it. All right, Elliot, we need to unpack your take of your NFC power rankings, which I enjoyed the graphic conversation yesterday with the afternoon show. Elliot, you have the Eagles still number one in the NFC. What's the reasoning?
Because I think they are the team that other teams would least want to play in the playoffs. And I think if they played the Rams, the Bears, the Lions in a playoff game, I would pick the Eagles. I don't think they're playing the best in the NFC right now. They're not. That's probably the Rams. You could argue the Bears because they just beat the Eagles, although I don't think the Bears are playing outstanding football. The NFC is just not that good. Everyone brings up Seattle. Seattle has not beaten one quality opponent all year. Like, you want to know why they have great stats? Because they play trash teams every single week. The Eagles have gone against the toughest schedule in the NFL. they get treated like they're 3-8. They're actually 8-4. So they are not maybe where they should be, but they have not been a disappointment either. So when I look at the NFC, I agree the Rams are playing better now, but the Eagles beat the Rams both this year and last year, and they have one more loss than the Rams. So the Rams aren't three games ahead of them. They're not 12-1 or some special record. They have a very regular record too. So with every team pretty regular in the NFC, I'll go with the team that has beat the majority of teams that are considered good in the NFC and the team that has the best playoff experience and most recent.
All right, but wouldn't those teams want to play the Eagles' offense right now? Like, I understand your perspective.
Well, I don't think the Rams would want to play the Eagles.
Sure
they
would.
Lost to them. Why? They've lost to them the last three times they played them, including this year.
In the last month, the Eagles barely can crack 15 points. Like, why wouldn't any team want to play the Eagles' offense?
Because the Rams lose to them every time they play them. I agree they're not playing well right now, but I think there's a difference between how you're playing right now and how I think you'll play in a big game. Like, the Bears just beat the Eagles, right? Do you think if the Eagles went to Chicago in the playoffs that that's not a game they could win? Of course they could win that game. The Bears have no playoff experience. So we can talk about the Rams' offense, which I agree is better than the Eagles' offense. But if that mattered so much, the Rams' offense was arguably better than the Eagles' offense last year. It was better than the Eagles' offense earlier in the year. They still lose, right? So I think, yes, offenses compare. When you compare them, I agree. But it's not just an offensive game, right? Like, as Hugh often says, defense matters. So there's that aspect of it. Well, like, sure. On a full pitcher, they beat the Rams every time they play
I know,
them.
But but two out of the three examples are last year's Eagles and last year's Rams. I mean, like, we have
when they played one time this year, the Eagles won that game.
Yeah, and the Eagles' offense is worse now than then. That's it, right? The teams right now, if they played right now, the Rams would be 5-point favorites in the game, 5.5-point favorites.
If they played in L.A., I would probably agree with
that.
But, you know, like, is anyone afraid of going to L.A.? I mean, the Eagles, like, it's basically a home game every time the Eagles are there.
I'm afraid of anyone with the defense playing the Eagles right now. We can't move the football.
But can I – all right, so here's what I've heard a lot of, and I'm – wonder where you guys fall on it. Like, what are the Eagles good at, right? They're not good at anything. Their offense isn't good. The defense isn't playing well. No one believes in the coaching. Then how did they win 8 games? Like,
happened in 23. The NFL is only 16 or – it used to be 16, now 17 games. You win a couple of toss-up games, your record looks way different than the reality. That happens all the time.
But you can do that for other teams, right? You can do that for the Rams. I don't know what their record is in one-score games this year. I don't see them winning by 17 points every week, right? Like, every team has flaws, right? But not every team has the Eagles' resume of quality wins and of the playoff success last year. And I know that bringing up last year, you can say it doesn't matter. I think it does, because if they play Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams in the playoffs, they'll have such better playoff experience and they'll be more prepared for that game than they will. If they play the Seahawks in a playoff game, would anybody take Sam Darnold over Jalen Hurts in a playoff game?
No, but the Seahawks defense might shut the Eagles out.
Like, but the Seahawks have played three good teams all year and they've lost to all of them.
I'm with you. They're not even making it out of the first round. I'm with you. I'm not saying Seattle's going to the Super Bowl.
Okay, so we don't think the Seahawks are that
good.
But
if they played right now, I don't think the Eagles would beat them.
Why? That's what I'm asking.
This Eagles offense is bottom of the league right now. How are they going to beat anyone that's good?
Because they beat good teams all the time.
In the last month, they are lucky they have those two wins. Can we be real about that? The two wins they won, they scored 15 and what, 10? Like, how many games do you win scoring 15 and 10 in the NFL?
Again, I agree the offense is not playing well. We're on the same page. I'm not saying that right now the Eagles are playing like the best team in the NFC. I'm saying,
you put them at one on your power ranking.
Because I still think they're the toughest team to eliminate in the playoffs.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I was another team, right? If I was the Rams, would you rather play the Seahawks or the Eagles?
The Eagles.
You would rather play the Eagles, the team
yes,
that beat
the,
you
they
three
just played.
Times,
they
the
played
team
the Seahawks.
The Super Bowl.
Yeah, I don't, that doesn't matter anymore. They played the Seahawks.
It does matter.
No, it doesn't.
Though. It
Ellie,
does matter. You Ellie, can say it doesn't matter, but it does.
Do we forget what happened 2 years ago? We could have said literally the same thing. Well, they're coming off a Super Bowl. They have a playoff experience. They came down the stretch. They looked like garbage, and they went out with a whimper.
Why
right now, until I see something different, and again, Elliot, they could play well the next month and change all our perspectives, but right now, why is this different than 2 years ago?
Well, let me ask you this. Why does 2 years ago matter more than last year?
No,
what
I'm saying is
you
each
saying
no,
last
you're
year
missing
matter,
it.
But you seem to be referencing 2 years ago, which is further away.
No, each season matters for how they're progressing. Like last year when they were progressing well, they went at this time of the year they went to LA and Baltimore. And that's when they convinced us all, my God, they're good.
Yeah.
So at that point, the collapse no longer mattered. The 2024 Eagles looked great. Just like in 23, when they started to look like crap, the 2022 Eagles didn't matter anymore. The 2023 Eagles were crap. Right now, they're crap. So like,
they're not playing well.
So,
I agree with you. They're not playing well.
But again, until they change that, the Rams just played the Seahawks. Sam Darnold threw four picks, and it took a missed field goal at the end for the Rams to hold on. That's how close that game was with four picks. The
so it
Rams
sounds like neither of those teams are that good. That's the
oh
point I'm making. There's not. Do you think any team in the NFC is great?
I think the Rams are a great team. Right now, I think they're going to win the Super Bowl. I think they're the best team in the NFL.
Okay, so I think the Rams are the closest to a great team right now in terms of how they're playing. But also, they just lost to the Panthers in Carolina. Matt Stafford threw three
interceptions. You know, Elliot, the Panthers have one less win than the Eagles. I've heard this 50 times this week. Well, they lost to the Panthers. They have seven wins. The Eagles have eight.
I'm just leaning on the resume more than you are, right? Like, I think it matters when a quarterback and head coach has accomplished something. And so when I'm looking at the future and I'm looking at the playoffs, like, to me, it matters that the Eagles are built around a core that has won big games more than any other team in the NFC besides arguably the Rams. They won a Super Bowl a while ago. That was a much different roster, but same quarterback and head coach, so they deserve credit for that. That matters to me. I'm not comparing the teams in terms of last year's Eagles versus this year's Eagles. Obviously, last year's Eagles are better. What I'm saying is when your head coach and quarterback, that's the backbone of the team, have played in big games and won big games, including against the team that you're telling me is so much better, then how am I supposed to sit here and say that the Eagles aren't the best team in the NFC when they have the best resume?
But didn't 23 teach us it doesn't matter? We could have said, I bet we had this conversation in 23, and they went out and got smoked in a playoff game against Todd Bowles and Baker Mayfield. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, so I think if we want to compare teams, I think this team is way better than the 23 team. I think they have more consistency on the coaching staff. I think they have better players on defense. I mean, the offense arguably was actually better in 23 for what it's worth. But I think as a team, they are better. Now, you're right. They could collapse. Like, I agree. When you watch them play, they do not feel or look like the best team in the NFC. I agree with that. But what I'm saying is there is no great team. And when there's no great team, I lean on a resume of what teams have accomplished. And again, we just, like, gloss over it. the Eagles literally beat the Rams. They played this year, and they literally beat them. So to act like the Rams belong in this class above the Eagles just doesn't make any sense.
Well, I mean, Elliot, they beat them, but come on. I mean, they needed a blocked field goal at the end to win the game.
Well, it sounds like they got a special teams advantage next time they play.
Well, that they might. They might have that. I do like the Eagles special teams better than
the Rams.
Special teams. On, you're right on that. Elliot, we appreciate
it. I mean, it's just crazy. The Eagles have beaten almost every good team they've played this year, and then I sound like the crazy person saying they're the best team in the NFC.
Well, but it is crazy because they're not
but
right
why?
Now.
But
they look terrible.
The last month, they can't move the football.
They just got embarrassed
by
the Chicago Bears.
They're not playing well right now, but they just also in this
they
last month.
They haven't played well all season.
I'm not going to argue like this.
Okay, so Kyle, they've not played well all season,
they haven't,
right? But they probably have more quality wins than any other team.
So is the Chiefs still a quality win, or are they 6-6?
I think that is a quality win. It was you're going to tell me going to Kansas City in week two when they were 0-1 and beating them was not a quality
win. No, but the point is...
It was also like a century ago.
We say this, but who's the... Give me the great wins they have this year.
They went to Green Bay and beat the Packers. They beat the Lions at home. They beat the Buccaneers. They beat the Rams.
Hold
on.
You know, the Lions and Chiefs very well might miss the playoffs. Like, we say these things, but maybe these teams aren't... Maybe they're not as good as we thought.
What would you qualify as a great win in the NFL then? Forget the Eagles. Just tell me what you would say if a team went and did that, that would be a great win.
Well, it's two things. It's not just beating a team. Anyone could win a toss-up game. Like, games happen weird all the time. You have to dominate. Who have they dominated besides the Giants here in October? Dominate. That's
again, but you're not answering my question.
Well, what is a great
what's
win?
What's a quality win? Because if you're going to tell me the Chiefs aren't a good win, the Rams aren't a good
win.
What I consider a good win is
dominating a good team.
It's hard to dominate a good team. That's the point.
No, it's not.
If they had the Seahawks schedule, they would dominate more
Super Bowl champions dominate good teams. That last year's Eagles went to Baltimore. They were one of the greatest offenses in the league, and they dominated them.
Yeah, I got news for you. The Eagles aren't as good as last year. Well, I agree with you on that.
That's why they're not number one in the power rankings. That's the whole point.
But what does the Eagles what are the Eagles dominating last year? What matters more to you? The Eagles dominated teams last year, or the Eagles beat the Rams this year? What is more indicative of who's the better team this year? Who they've played and who they've beaten this year, or how they played last year?
No, what's indicative is how you play. Why is it so hard?
Yes, and when they played the Rams this year, they played better than the Rams.
No, they didn't.
Then how did they win?
Elliot, you've seen luck before, right? That was a lucky win.
Giants beat the Eagles, and they're not even on the same planet as us. Like, sometimes you win games you're not supposed to, or you beat a better team.
We're not talking about 1 week into the NFL season. I agree. If you diminish every win the Eagles have, then their schedule is not that impressive. I agree with you on that.
Do you outgain the team? Do you have more first downs? That's indicative of who's better. The win and the loss, if a guy misses a field goal at the end, the whole outcome changes. It doesn't change
hold on,
the
but
game.
The guy didn't miss a field goal. The Eagles made a play and blocked a field goal.
Yeah, I know.
And if we want to talk about the difference between the two teams, I think it's actually a major red flag for the Rams that they were up big against the Eagles and couldn't shut them out. We're a Rams radio station, which I know no one cares about the Rams, but if for whatever reason there was a Rams radio station, we'd be sitting here and saying, the Eagles have our number, we never seem to beat them. Early in the year we dominated them, still found a way to win. So we can view it from the Eagles' perspective if they're not playing well. I agree with you, they're not playing well. But do you think the Rams want to see the Eagles in the playoffs? I guarantee you they don't.
Elliot, it's just but no history points to this. Teams that
other
win
than the history of them playing, other than that history.
When teams play, go to the Super Bowl and win Super Bowls, they dominate. They don't win they don't squeak out games and win championships. The 2017 Eagles beat the crap out of teams. The 2024 Eagles beat the crap out of teams. The 2022 Eagles.
The
2004 Eagles. They lost,
the Chiefs,
Elliot. They got smacked.
The Super Bowl. So they were the best team in the AFC last year.
But at the end, regardless, when you play like this, eventually you get your ass kicked. Like, whether that is in the first round or you make it a couple rounds by accident, you get your ass kicked.
Were the Chiefs a great team in 2023? Did they dominate teams week after week, or did they look mostly lackluster all season?
The point I'm making
is the only team you can compare the Eagles to right now is the Chiefs, because they have played the most football over the past 3 years. They've gone to multiple Super Bowls. And what you see is, when you do that, you generally don't have great regular seasons because you're playing great
teams.
That's fine.
Doesn't the Chiefs comp feel kind of like coping a little bit?
Of course it does.
Like, we're trying to explain away why we look terrible by being like, well, the Chiefs looked terrible last year.
Well, but aren't they the best example of the team most similar to the Eagles right now?
I think people want that to be the case. Like, well, we could also go right back to 2 years ago, this exact Eagles team, 2023. It's probably a closer comp.
I don't know if it is a closer comp because you could point to the most recent season, which was last year, or you could point to this season. And I'm not denying that there are not elements of this season that feel like 2023, right? I think there's some. I wouldn't say if there's a lot. I think they're a way better team, and I think the difference is they've just not played great football all year. But also, for what it's worth, like, you see teams that consistently go deep in the playoffs. They don't play great football during the year.
But you're missing something with the Chiefs. Home field advantage, only having to win two home playoff games. The Eagles right now are the 3 seed. You've said it with us. They've never won a road playoff game. Like,
I agree. If they're not the 1 seed, it's going to be harder for them to get
the 1 seed. How are they going to get the 1 seed?
Well, they didn't have the 1 seed last year, and they ended up playing at home throughout the playoffs. Right. So if you finish as the 2 seed, and you act like the Rams and Bears are 3 games ahead of them, it's a 1-game difference.
Right now, where do you think this is headed?
I think they're probably going to the Super Bowl.
Oh, stop.
He's living his truth.
Why
is that crazy? Who in the NFC are you truly afraid of besides the Rams?
Elliot, right now, it's way more likely they get knocked out in the first round as the 3 seed than go to the Super Bowl.
I disagree with you on that.
All right. Well, that we just see it differently. Until they start playing better.
That's what's great about sports.
It is. It really is. Elliot, we appreciate you hopping on, and we will talk next week, Elliot. Thank you.
Sounds good. Talk to you.
All right, there he goes.
That was spirited.
It's because you're off the hook for you.
Well, I've gotten a little bit trouble. I'm just trying to, make it through the day.
I'm just helping you out.
I'm just trying to make it through.
It took you about 1 minute.
Hey. At least I waited an hour. I don't get... Hugh, would you rank the Eagles number one in the NFC?
No.
You could have chimed in there.
Well, because I want, like, listen.
You don't stand with Joe.
I do. I stand with Joe.
No, you do not stand with Joe.
Kyle, you stood with me.
You
know what's funny? Because I wanted to hear what Elliot had to say. No, seriously. I don't agree with him at all. I don't because.
Then rip him.
No.
That's what we do.
I wanted to hear his argument. And. Part of his argument is because they have championship pedigree, right?
Yeah, but didn't they have that in 23, and what happened?
Well, I understand, again, don't agree with him, but I understand what he's saying, but here's the reality of it. Because you asked him, do you think the Rams are, who would they rather play, Seattle or the Eagles?
Yeah.
They would rather play the Eagles.
I agree.
They want, for two reasons. They want to get some get back, and the Eagles right now, they almost figured them out, but they figured them out.
Yeah,
they looked like they figured them out.
They did. All right, 215-592-9490. We're back to all your phone calls. That one went off the rails a little bit.
You asked me questions.
I know. Well,
stop doing that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. No more questions for you. Plus, we'll get to Hard Knocks last night with the Eagles featured. Our takeaways from that. Midday show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Wait a minute. I got to read.
Yeah, man.
Oh, that's on me.
Sure is.
Oh, my bad. We've eaten the turkey, everybody. Listen, it's Wednesday. Wow. I know I have to read these, but I'm going to change this because, damn it, if you're still eating leftovers, you need to stop. Let that turkey die the death that it was supposed to die if you have some leftover. But this is what I want you to do. Get you some Hatfield. Get you some of that Italian sausage, man, that sweet Italian sausage, and make yourself a breakfast casserole. If you want to have some Thanksgiving back, make this dish tomorrow morning. Go in there, make a breakfast casserole so good that you will be reminded of the great holiday that you had. For store locations and recipe ideas, hit up simplyhatfield.com. Hatfield, better care, better pork.
Your favorite song, Hugh?
Yeah, of course, I love it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gilley, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. As we unpack a lot of things, including Sirianni, is he safe no matter what? If this season not going well, if it continues that way, is he safe? We'll check in on the poll question. Back to your phone calls. But let's unpack a little bit of Hard Knocks. NFC East debuted last night on HBO, and it opened with this conversation between Brandon Graham and Nick Sirianni.
Well, my college coach used to say it's scientifically proven that a harsh interaction will change behavior. Well, it's the same thing with competition.
We can do it. We know. A little setback. None of one of us to go through adversity until they go through and be like, man, I needed that. Like last year. We had to go through that. Unfortunately, we had to go through 23 into that too. Yeah. We get to where we got last year. Same here. We just, sometimes you get like, man, I don't like what I'm going through right now.
Fix it. Well,
it's good for you.
It's good because it's shaping up to see who you are too. For that.
God knows what he's doing.
God knows. I'll take on that.
All right, so that's how it opened last night. So the first episode kind of bounced around the four teams. Obviously, it started with a couple Sundays ago. So it started with the Eagles and Cowboys game a couple weeks ago down in Dallas. But they bounced around with the four teams. But they open with that scene, it's kind of setting the scene here in Philadelphia with the defending Super Bowl champions. I saw clips of Elliot and Spike at the Players Lounge and the Jordan Mailata show, and also. There's a little Decameron there.
Shout out to the midday. Well, no, that's us. Us.
Yeah. We're the midday show.
The morning show and the afternoon show. Yeah,
we are the midday show.
Having a rough one.
Hugh, what did you think of the opening scene? BG, Sirianni, you like the message, a little coping? Because again, that was, the day after the Cowboys lost, that conversation.
I'm going to be totally honest because I feel like, in the position that I'm in, being the sports analyst, I'm going to overanalyze.
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to do that. So bear with me, people, and don't get upset with me. It felt a little staged. It felt a little staged for the beginning. And I understand that it's a show, Hugh, idiot, blah, 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 first episode, and they're trying to build it up.
Yeah.
But that felt super staged. I do like when he said a harsh interaction can change a person's perception. That jumped out to me.
It's scientifically proven.
Yeah, because, that's the same, no, I won't draw those parallels.
Harvard studies back that up?
Well, I'm just saying, because, it's like that, never mind. I'm walking the line, Blue Jeans has been in all. He's been in here a few times already. I got to try to clean that up. But the thing is, I thought the first, put it like this, and I know we're going to talk about it, but I was a little disappointed in the first episode because I felt like it was going to be more egocentric.
Now, to be fair to the people making the show, the first episode started with them having two losses and like that.
Yes.
Right? It started last week. So, I mean,
And that's me being that's me, honestly, being a fan and being selfish. But even watching the show, I felt like we should have gotten more airtime. I felt that way.
I think I expected the Cowboys to be featured the most. Like, they're the hottest team in the division right now.
No,
they're the Cowboys.
And they're setting up Eagles-Cowboys the next few weeks as the story.
They are, and I get it. But I'm not going to lie. I'm like, damn, what about what we got going on? Yeah. And I didn't like, and again, overanalyzing it.
So you wanted more DeCamera?
overanalyzing the first episode.
More Spike, more Elliot.
I thought they painted Dak in a better light than they did our quarterback.
Well, again, they were able to shoot two wins of Dak, two losses of Jimmy. I mean, that's just what happened.
I didn't like, that's how I felt. And I'm sorry if that nobody agrees with that, but that's how, when I watched it, I wanted to see more of what we got going on. And I didn't like the way that they painted my quarterback.
Well, do you wonder if the Cowboys were featured more because there's less drama going on there? Like, they're just having fun.
And they're winning.
Schottenheimer's firing everybody up.
And again, I know people are saying, well, their record's worse. The show started with the two Sundays ago, right? So it's just the last 10 days of
the division. The short turnaround that they had and all that stuff. I'm not going to lie. Like I said, I keep saying that I didn't like the way they painted that. Didn't like it.
All right, let's...
And that might be because the fact that I don't like the Cowboys, but I ain't like it.
Let's get to how they, well, not just painted, just showed us Jalen interaction. So... They're going to this audio you're going to hear here, if you haven't seen it yet, this is the audio of the play where Jalen and Devontae were not on the same page, the miss that should have been a touchdown, and then they bring it to the sideline where they're discussing what happened there, and you'll hear it all. Here is Jalen, Devontae, the play that went wrong, and then afterwards on the sideline.
What'd you mistake?
I thought you, when I pointed like this, that's my fault. I thought you was going to settle down.
No,
some
I,
more.
I took that what we talked about.
Ah. It's a play I gotta make. Y'all keep doing what y'all doing. Here we go. We'll finish the next one. That's a play I make.
All right, so a couple things there. One, it was good to see because, you know, we always wonder.
We were recklessly speculating about that play.
You wonder on the sidelines because when the camera pans to Jalen during games, a lot of times he's kind of off by himself or he's, you know.
And when we see him, it's the narrative.
Yep. So there, it's clear he's talking to his guys and he's saying, my fault on that. So it's good. You want to see them talking at least. But the play itself, Jalen was in the wrong. I mean, you hear it there. Devontae said, we talked about this, right? And whatever they talked about leading into the player during the week was for him to go on the slant. Jalen, for whatever reason, in that moment, thought he was going to sit down. He said it there. And then Jalen said, my fault. I messed it up. So, I mean, now we know what happened there. I mean, that's Jalen thought one thing. Devontae thought the other. But Hugh, the way I heard it was Devontae said, we discussed this before, and that's why I was doing what I was doing.
Accountability. That's what I heard. You know, Jalen took heat for it. Well, he took, you know, he said it was his fault.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't have a problem with that. I did not have a problem with that because we speculated about that exact play. We speculated about that, and Jalen took accountability for that.
Yeah, he messed it up.
I think that's important.
He messed it up. So, look, we'll see what happens next week. But so next week, I guess they'll have all this week in there, which will be interesting coming off of the loss. Because we didn't really see anything with the Eagles post.
No, after the Bears loss.
Yeah, so now we got this leading into a long week here. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's go to Rachel in Marlton. Hey, Rachel.
Hey, how are you guys?
Hey, Rachel, what's up? We're good.
Yeah, I love listening to you every day, and
this
I call with you guys, so thank you.
Was that a prison call?
No. Anyway, really quick.
You got it, Rachel. What's up?
This about, okay, so Sirianni and all this stuff. I think everyone needs to take a back seat and look at our team. Last year when we were in the playoffs, you saw Hurts throwing the ball. You saw a running game. You saw a collective team. I don't think that the Eagles went in this year thinking that the offensive line was going to be unhealthy. We're unhealthy. And they're not creating any interesting plays. They're not creating anything to get things moving on the running game. They're not doing anything. So collectively, it is a coach's thing. Collectively, it is the players. But at the end of the day, who do you blame? You have to put the effort on the coaches. They're not doing anything special. You watch every game. They're trying to run it down the middle. Barkley doesn't have it. He said it. He's not playing like he did last year. There's like something going on and it's not being figured out. And unfortunately, I think and I'm hoping that this whole 10 days off of football, these guys are going to get themselves together and they're going to recognize that they are an amazing team. but they have to do it collectively.
Well, they do. And everyone... Rachel, to your point on the 10 days, it is. Here's what my hope is. So when the last time they lost two in a row, they lost to the Broncos when they blew a lead, and then they lost on the Thursday game to the Giants, and they had extra time, and they got ready. And then they won four in a row. They beat the Vikings. They beat the Giants. They beat the Packers and Lions. This is kind of similar. They lost. They blew a game to the Cowboys. Then they lost on a short week to the Bears. And now they have some extra time to get ready for the stretch run. And if they win the next four, they're in the playoffs. And we're, you know, this is all forgotten and we're feeling good again. So this, I agree with you that a lot of it's on the coaches.
But the problem is that Sirianni talks about accountability all the time. Hurts takes accountability. When he messes up, he saw that play with Devontae. He said, it was my fault. Barkley has said, I'm not playing great. You see these players, and you even hear Mulata's like, yeah, I did this. Or A.J. Brown said, oh, I had a false start. That's bad on me. These players are not cohesive like they were last year, and that starts with whatever's going on in that locker room. And that's Sirianni, because he's preaching all of this amazing stuff with this team. And unfortunately, they're not showing up. So where is that breakdown? Mm. What's happening? And that's what everybody has to look at. And I'm sorry, they should have learned this back then. You don't hire within. I said it last season when they hired Petula. I literally said to my husband, we're in big trouble.
Well, the issue, Rachel, I had with it, it's one thing if you do a whole interview process and the internal person is
best. Yeah, they didn't do it.
I know. They just hired.
I listened to you guys. You guys were so pissed. You guys sat there and were like, how do you just do that? How do you not interview? How do you? There's nothing creative.
Mm-hmm.
What is creative? Every week we go in with the same thing. They don't put Tank Bigsby in. They're not playing certain players. Why are you not creating things? Why are you not changing the schema? And that's coaching. And I don't know if Petula has what Kellen Moore has. I just don't.
I don't either.
Has that creativeness?
I doubt he does. And Rachel, good phone call, and we appreciate it. Rachel Cook, there. What do you got, Hugh? I asked, what do you got?
I was stuck on don't hire from within.
Why?
Because, I mean, like, this is where the reality of the situation kind of plays into this because we were all hired from within. Like, we were all here. Like, I came from Atlanta.
Well, I mean, not every business is the NFL.
But
I mean,
it's like when you say that, because I don't think Kevin Petullo is the whole problem. Now, Kevin Petullo is a rookie offensive coordinator. No question about that. But we've got it in our heads that's the problem.
So, okay, you're right, that he's not the only problem.
And here's the thing.
But before you go on, don't you think, my issue, when they hired Petullo, and I know they were behind the game because they went to the Super Bowl.
Because of revisionist history.
No, but this is, I thought this in the moment. They were behind the game, right, because it was late, it was February.
And that might be true.
Well, that, it was, right?
Like, well, yeah, well, that did.
They're
okay,
in the Super Bowl.
To be fair, that was true.
More leaves, so they don't... A lot of some of the good coordinators already had moved places, right? So, but they didn't have an interview process where they brought in, again, hiring from within is not bad in itself. But like if they interviewed five people, let's just pretend, the Vikings quarterback coach and the Packers O-line coach, and then they said, you know what? They're all good. Kevin Petullo was better than all of them. That's different. They didn't interview anybody.
I look at it like this, and you know, folks, y'all can look at it any way that you want to look at it. But there have been three offensive coordinator hires since I've been here, right? And two were from within.
And one wasn't.
One wasn't. But the narrative is still the same, is that we still struggled at the beginning of the year. Now, I don't know if that's the offensive coordinators, the coach, or the quarterback, but I think it's a little narrow-minded to automatically put it all on him when we have a sampling size of three different variables, and one of them was outside the building.
I agree with you, and that's why the last 2 days is we're unpacking all this. If I'm Jeff, I'm putting myself in Jeff Fleury's shoes. Why does the offense that I'm paying all this money for 3 years so up and down? So the coordinator, all right, that might be true. It might be easy. But again, if we keep Nick, we're going to keep going on this roller coaster of
totally
coordinators.
Agree. Totally agree.
Maybe it's Nick's fault, but that's uncomfortable because he just won the Super Bowl. Maybe it's the quarterback's fault, but I paid him a lot of money and everyone loves him.
And that's the thing. And that's how you have
fans
to look at
love
this.
Him. Maybe not everyone there.
Because everything's a maybe and everything has a monetary value tied to it.
That's why you can't be hasty in these decisions. We've got it in our heads. Right,
but I
now.
Am hasty. That's what I do.
No, and that's fine, Joe. That's what we do, and that's why I'm here.
Maybe they're Jeff Lurie can't be hasty. I can.
To balance this out. They're trying to balance this thing out because they know you're like headstrong. Yeah. But the bottom line is this.
I'm the hasty one. You're the one that gets in trouble.
Yeah. I'm the one that's still happy to be sitting in this seat. but here's the bottom line, man. We have a working sample where we just can't say it's one thing. It's easy to say that because that's the newest thing.
Yeah.
But it's obvious that, like, this is where I need people to listen to what's being said.
It's more than just Petullo.
Yeah, because they're telling you it's not Petullo. They're telling you that. Now, he might have his moments where he looks like a bubblehead, and we've had pundits tell us that his offense is pedestrian. Okay. Why is that? Why is it that when Nick Sirianni came out, Coach Sirianni, he was one of the highly touted young offensive minds in the NFL? You know,
well, that's what he was hired on. He was a coordinator.
There's a lot of variables in here. So that's why I don't think it's smart to just say it's one thing.
Well, guess what? We're going to get our answer in about a couple months. Here,
yeah.
Right.
No, we're going to get our answer this weekend.
Well, if they figure it out and they win.
Well, Monday.
Everyone's happy. If this thing goes bad, the Eagles are going to make changes. They're just not going to run back the 25th best offense in the NFL. All right. This segment brought to you by Meineke. It's your football season. Make sure your car is game day ready. It's take your car to your local owner and operator. Meineke, find a location near you at Meineke.com. All right. Let's grab Will in the Northeast. Will.
Drinking, how y'all doing today?
Well, what's up?
Hey, listen, shout out to Aaron. Thanks for, you know, picking me up, man, even though I dropped the call yesterday, man. You know, and thank you guys for not grinding me up. But I did get grinded up real bad at my job. But now I'm going to redeem myself.
Okay.
All right?
You're good. Go ahead.
So this is the thing, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody, now, I want y'all to look at one thing. I know y'all may think it's crazy, but all money ain't good money. Mm-hmm. When everybody tried to tell Saquon about being on that Madden cover, we started to see the effects of it. Maybe that's it. I don't know. Maybe that's it. But what I want to say is I see a lack of confidence in Saquon, right? Mm. Saquon is not himself. He's second-guessing himself, and he's not hitting that hole. So my thing is, Bixby, it's time for you to go ahead and step up, man. It's time for coaches to go ahead and say, listen, we got to switch it up a little bit. Let's see how Bixby works. You think what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But my thing is this. Now, under KP, right, I'm not going to put the full blame on KP. Everybody needs to do their job. And Sirianni, I think you need to do your job, and I think you need to allow KP to do his job. And this is where I think a lot of this is coming in at. This is why our season is up and down the way that it is. Allow this man to call his plays. Now, let's talk about, you know, problems and solutions. Okay, we have 8 wins. Why do we have 8 wins? Because I believe most of them 8 wins is being under the center, right? And that is because the defense haven't really seen us go under the center as much as we have been this season. And we have been executing plays by doing that, right? So my thing is, what the problem is, when we line up in that same formation, that RPO, that shotgun, guess what? As soon as you hand in the ball off the Saquon, the defense is already back there. They already know what we're doing. This is chess, not checkers. Right now, we're supposed to be thinking about our opponent moves and already know our move before the opponent even know what we're going to do, okay? So my thing is this, right? It's chess, not checkers. Our biggest opponent is ourselves. We're losing these games. You know why? Because there's no communication. It's no accountability. And there's no trust in the play calling. And there's no trust in our offensive line. It's no trust in our quarterback. We got to tighten up and play as a team. But the most thing that we need to do is communicate. When we run in these plays, A.J., Smith, Goddard, Saquon, when y'all know y'all got your man beat, come back to the line. Tell Saquon, Jalen, look, I got this dude. Throw the ball to me. I'm gonna be there. All y'all got to communicate now. The last thing I want to say, man, is the biggest thing that I've been seeing is what's happening to our offense is starting to trickle down to our defense.
Well, I agree with that. Now, I think they're getting worn out. Yeah, they're getting worn out a little bit.
From here on, right, this is what I want to say. From here on, we should be in all-attack mode, right? All-attack mode. And this is going for the offense and defense.
Activate everyone, attack mode. I'm with you.
Yeah, the defense needs to start attacking and blitzing more, not allowing these quarterbacks to have time in the pocket. The offense needs to attack more, heavy up offense, run plays, get this defense wore down. And listen, man, we cannot allow these defenses to take our confidence away, man. We got to bring that bully mentality back. We imposed our will. We had the will to win. We had the will to come back from when he was down or whatever, man. So now is the time to chime into all that, man, and let's play ball.
Let's do it, Will.
For both sides of the ball.
You got, Will, you got it, man. We appreciate it.
God, left him out.
Yeah, I know. I'm about to dry 2 days in a row.
We need to get back on the winning side of things.
This is the holidays.
No music till we win?
No. Wow. No on the road again.
No, we're like, on the road. Mm-mm. Down. Yeah. All right. 215-592-9494. All right. Coming up, the lunch hour with Jason Avant. Jason joins us for the next hour. We'll take your phone calls with him as well. This is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino.
You're laughing at me, dog.
Is the number one sports book for same game parlays from points and rebounds to threes and assists. FanDuel is the best place to combine your favorite picks into a same game parlay or track every stat live all in one easy to use app. And right now is the perfect time to join. New customers get $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. So bet on the players you love the way you want. Head to FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to sign up today. FanDuel, official sports betting part of the NBA. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official sports book. I'm 94 WIP.
What is going on with you guys?
I'll just be glad when this workday over.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.